You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Well, the Ashes continues late into Friday evening as the second test gets underway at Adelaide. The first ever day-night test in the Ashes, and also the second test of this current series. England currently 1-0 down, of course, after the opening test in Brisbane. And be hoping to battle their way back to level up the series, hopefully. Australia currently odds on to win the second test, though, at 8-13. The draw's 5-1, and England are 11-4. So to look ahead to the test and pick out some of the best bets, my name's John Gibby, joined by the resident William Hill cricket guru, the Badger himself, James Butler.
Hello, John. Yeah, 1-0 down. That's the bad bit as far as England are concerned. But I don't think it's all doom and gloom. There were three batsmen in that first test match in Stoneman, Vince and Milan, who were the unfancied trio, who came good, got 50s and played quite well. Joe Root got a 50 in the second innings, and half decent bowling by the seamers. But very much a work in progress as far as this series is concerned. I never had England down to win at the Gabba. The Gabba is a favourite haunt of the Australians, who I didn't think they played that well themselves. I think the Australians probably got out of jail a little bit. England were level after 3 days. Australia won that test match playing probably 70% of their cricket. Stephen Smith was the difference between the two sides. He is just a ludicrously good batsman. And if England are going to get their teeth into this series, they need to find a way to get him out. But under the lights at Adelaide, I think England have a real sniff.
Yeah. It's interesting, points during that first test, you mentioned the half century for Root. It sort of felt like we were perhaps reaching a point where England might be able to make an impression on the match. And then certain things just happened that meant it all fell apart.
There were a few points like that. I think I was starting to get hopeful when Stoneman was batting. He nicked off, got out. I was getting hopeful when Moeen Ali and Johnny Bairstow were going together. Moeen Ali, slightly dubious stumping decision. He was out. And it seemed to be every time, like you say, England got themselves into a position of, not dominance, but kind of clawing their way back into the game, they ended up losing a couple of quick wickets. So that's how the first test went. But I think England at 11-4 in this second test match, that's worth a bit of a punt myself. Under the lights, England have got a lot of players that are used to playing with the pink ball under the lights. A lot of it is a little bit Russian roulette lottery in terms of when you get that dangerous period where the floodlights start to take over from the natural light. You get maybe half an hour, 40 minutes where it's dusky and the ball starts to maybe misbehave a little bit more than it normally would do. Often the pink ball during the day, once it's lost its shine, is very easy to bat with. But in that dusky period, if Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad have ball in hand, Chris Wokes maybe as well, and they start getting that ball to talk, even the likes of Stephen Smith, who is a supreme batsman, will find it difficult to bat. So a lot of those are unknown going into this test match. And as there are a lot of unknowns, and whilst I don't think there's much between these two sides, I think that makes it a little bit more of a pick'em, and therefore Australia 8-13 offer no value to me. England at 11-4 offers quite a significant amount of value.
We know England had a bit of experience with this whole day-night test format during the summer when they played the West Indies in Birmingham. What sort of experience do Australia have of day-night test matches so far?
They've had a couple at Adelaide, and I've looked at the stats from those two games. They played New Zealand a couple of years ago. They played South Africa last year. Australia have won both of those games. But the interesting thing is, if you look at Adelaide prior to these two, those two day-night games, Adelaide was historically a bat-first, rack up 550 and put yourself in a dominant position in the test match. In the two games that have been under lights, the visiting sides, the Kiwis and the South Africans, have won the toss. They've obviously looked at Adelaide and thought, right, it's a bat-first track, let's get out there and do it. And then they've been rolled out for about 220 and ended up losing the test match.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably, in a way, it'd be a brave decision by Joe Root, if he calls correctly, to ask Australia to bat first. But it's probably the way to go. It might be a good toss for Joe Root to lose and let Stephen Smith kind of put the noose around his own neck. I think England batting second would give them serious value. It's important in that first test match that Joe Root called correctly. I don't think it's quite as important in the second one.
So England at 11-4 would be the outright selection. What about things like top batsmen, top bowlers, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a few match specials. Plenty of value throughout this Ashes series. If you followed the Badger Bets of the Day, we had one each day on that first test in Brisbane and every single one landed. So keep an eye out for those as we go through this test match. And obviously in Play Radio, I'll be all over it as well. For Australia, you can't go past Stephen Smith. He's just ridiculously good. If he gets to 20, then basically put your feet up and just watch him bat for the rest of the day, because he's that kind of player. They need to nick him off early. David Warner's obviously the other pedigree horse in their batting lineup. But Usman Khawaja might be worth a nibble. A couple of years ago against New Zealand, he got a big century in Adelaide under the lights. So 5-1 on him. He's been there and done it before in Adelaide. So Usman Khawaja at 5-1, I think, provides value. But anybody sitting here would be an idiot to back against Stephen Smith. He's by far their best player. For England, kind of similar applies to Joe Root. He's 11-4. But the difference between those two is that Stephen Smith is far more consistent. And when he gets in, he goes big. Joe Root has got this tendency now to get to 15 and then get out before he gets to three figures. He's got to sort that out. If he's going to be classed as a great of the English game, he needs to go on and pile those runs up and basically not be happy with 70 or 80. Well, no, he's not. But he needs to basically go on and get 180 and make them really pay. So 11-4 for Root. But I think Alistair Cook in this second test might be worth a shot. He's got a lot of experience playing under the lights. He's played a lot of the MCC games in Abu Dhabi early on in the season. At 7-2, he didn't have a very good first test match.
He had a pretty poor first test, didn't he?
But he's too good to ignore.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are starting to ignore him because he was overshadowed with the bat in that first test match by the rest of his batting lineup. 7-2, too big on Alistair Cook. He's had good series down under before. He needs to dig deep in the memory banks, find that form and take it out there. And if you get him at 7-2, he's always going to give you a shot, Alistair Cook. For Australia, with the ball, Mitchell Starc is their man. But I thought he was a little bit under par in that first test match. Josh Hazlewood has got a very good record at Adelaide under the lights. I think he'd be my pick in the first innings for Australia. 5-2 for him gives you a good shout. Pat Cummins, with a bit of pace, is in there as well. And Nathan Lyon at 9-2 with the spin does give you an option as well. But Hazlewood at 5-2 would be my pick. And with the ball, Chris Wokes had a very ordinary first test match. But I think under lights, if he gets the ball in hand when it's starting to move around, at 7-2 he might be worth a punt. But the reason Jimmy Anderson at 5-2 is favourite is pretty obvious. He's got the most England test wickets of all time. And if the ball does move, he's the best in the world at, you know, getting the best out of that ball and troubling the batsman. So 5-2 on him would have to be worth a bit of a nibble there.
Well, we know that the second Ashes test, James, is going to be a your odds match as well. You can tweet your requests into William Hill, at William Hill, hashtag your odds. If you have anything you would like to get priced up, there's also some on site already, and some I believe that have caught your eye.
There are more than some. There are loads and loads and loads. And the hashtag your odds are absolutely superb, because you can go on there, you can find some ways in that you might not otherwise have thought about. You can obviously put your own bets in there as well. But yeah, you can see what other people are doing. And sometimes you kind of look down this list. 275 for one, the biggest price on here. Each team to score exactly four runs off their first ball. So they basically, the two openers bang it away to the boundary. Now, if that does happen, you put a pound on it, 275 to one. You've got some pretty good bets there to have for the rest of the week, haven't you? So there's plenty of value in there, kind of from odds on all the way up to the biggies. But the ones I like here are the series bets. There's some Ashes future, hashtag your odds, for the rest of this series. Four test matches to go, and they start at 2-9 for a century to be scored in every test match. I think that's probably too short for that, because there might be a couple of low scoring games where a century doesn't get hit, because only Stephen Smith got to three figures in that first test match. There are some really good ones in here though as well, and I'm going to start with the long ones and we'll work our way in. We mentioned Usman Khawaja to be the top Australia series bat and Chris Wokes to be the top England series bowler at 66-1. I could see Khawaja maybe rivaling Stephen Smith if he gets going, because he's a very good player, but I can't see Wokes being the top batsman there for England. Looking at the 50-1 shot here, England to win the series and Anderson to be the top series bowler. Well, I think Jimmy Anderson's got every chance of getting the most wickets for England. It's whether England can win the series. They need to bounce back in Adelaide. But if they do that, and it's one apiece going into that third test match at Perth, no reason why England can't kick on from there. So
50-1 is a big price.
50-1 gives you the value for the risk there, doesn't it? 40-1. Any player in this series to score a triple century. Now, triple centuries are rare, but there's going to be a couple of these wickets where it's flat and there are plenty of opportunities for the team batting first to go big with their run total. 40-1 gives you some value there on a triple 100. They are scored in test matches. There's been plenty scored. No reason why one can't happen in this Ashes series. Stephen Smith, the way he played in that first test innings, if he continues to play like that during the series, he's going to get close for you. England to win the second test in Adelaide, and both Broad and Anderson to take five wickets or more in the match. Now, that's eminently possible. It's a 14-1 shot. I think England will win this second test at Adelaide. And if they do that, they're going to need their seamers to perform for them. Broad and Anderson, the two senior seamers, for them to take five wickets each of the 20 to fall, why not? 14-1, great value on that as well. There's a 10-1 shot here for any player to score a hat, to take a hat trick during the series. Now that sounds a little bit far fetched. It may sound a bit too short for some people, but recent Ashes series, we saw Darren Goff a few years ago take a hat trick at Sydney. Stuart Broad's taken an Ashes hat trick. We've seen Peter Siddle grabbed an Ashes hat trick at Brisbane back in 2010. So they do happen in Ashes series. 10-1 for that to happen again this year. Well, why not? There's plenty of ropey batsmen in there. Mitchell Stark took two hat tricks in a Sheffield Shield game just prior to this series starting. So if he can get the same kind of line, Bolo's Yorkers at the tail enders, a hat trick could happen in this series. 7-1 shot. Root to be the top England series batsman. Every chance of that happening. Anderson to be top England series bowler. Every chance of that happening. Probably if you look at these two, those two departments, they head those departments as the best batsman and the best bowler in the team. 7-1 for that to happen. That's a cracking bet. 5-1 for Joe Root to be the top England series batsman and Mitchell Stark to be the top Australia series bowler. Same applies. Root the best English batsman, Mitchell Stark the best of the Australian bowlers. If everything goes to form, that will land for you. 3-1. Root to be the top England series batsman. Smith to be the top Australia series batsman. it's what it says on the tin. They're the two best players on either side of the playing squads. They've both got off to a half decent start. Smith more than Root, but Root will come good in this series. 3-1 on that to happen. Great bet. At least one test where no century scored in the match. 3-1. There's going to be a low-scoring test match. It might come at Adelaide, where we've seen under lights teams being bowled out for 220. If that happens, that 3-1 comes into play there. Get on that before you get to Adelaide, because after that, it might be less likely. We're getting to the shorter options now, but we're getting to here to where we've got some real chances for it to happen. No Ashes test match to end in a draw. Now, we've had, in the last 26 now, we've had two draws. Played in Australia, Ashes test matches. Two draws in 26. Could quite easily go through this whole series without there being another draw. 8-11 for that to happen. Standout price. And finally, Chris Wokes to score more Ashes series runs than Mitchell Stark. Both must play three test matches in brackets. 4-7 for that to land. Now, Wokes is a better batsman than Stark. Stark has got off to a better start in the series, but Wokes will get more runs in this series. 4-7 on that to happen. I think he's odds on, but it's odds on for a reason, because Wokes is a far better player. There are so many hashtag your odds markets available in the cricket. Pre-match, during the match, have a look on it before start of play every day, because there's some enhanced markets on there that are really standout prices. William Hill is going bonkers on the Ashes. It's providing you with so many options. If you know your cricket, do a bit of research. Some massive value in there, and you can get some cracky winning bets to see you through the night.
And the great thing about your odds is that if there's something you'd like to have a bet on not priced up on the website, you just tweet at William Hill hashtag your odds with your own request, and the traders will try and price it up for you.
Absolutely
fantastic. Well, we look forward to the second test in Adelaide, James, and thanks for joining us.
No problem.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.